But I'm gonna go with The Purge. I'd rather live in The Purge because The Purge is essentially just like spend the night in Philadelphia. Like, all right, been to Philly, it's cool. Like, or Detroit for the sequel. Like, oh yeah, I've been to Detroit. Like, it's like, hey Jay, oh god, someone burst in. Like, we gotta buckle this place down. I've got news that's gonna startle and make you question society as a whole. Like, what is it like? For the next 24 hours, white people are coming for us. Yeah, no shit. What's the news? Yeah. Duh. Well, what are you taking a look around? Shit. No. They're heavily armed and the government's okay with it. Like, yeah, duh.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to 1000 Crazy Questions, the podcast. I'm your currently sane host, Houston Pierce. This is a podcast where I have at least one guest week and ask them a series of crazy would you rather questions. We get to the psyche of our guests, explore topics of questions maybe should have explored. I demand questions from you, listener, from a list of 1,000 questions. You can submit questions to Jets and Dab me at 1kcrazyquestions@gmail.com or at 1000crazyquestions on Instagram. That's 1000 on Instagram. And yeah, that's the only social media platform that actually kind of matters right now. I think TikTok's on its way out and no one cares about X, or at least I don't care about X. Anyway, please rate and follow 1000 Crazy Questions on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Spotify, all those good spots. It helps out the show. Appreciate your feedback. And that's it. That's the intro. We're done. Let's get into the episode this week. This week, we have with us the amazingly talented, Omega Awesome host of AJ Presents the Great Are Good podcast, AJ. AJ, if you want to introduce yourself to the listeners and just, yeah, tell them what you're about.
Why, hello, audio world. It is I, the Sultan of Saturated Fat. See, the man who is all-knowing and all-wise and ultimately right about all things food, pop culture, and nostalgia. It is I, AJ, of AJ Presents the Greater Good. Sans, my treacherous co-host who stays entrenched in all things skullduggery. Gentle Ben is not with me today. I'm flying solo. Happy to be a guest on this thing. If you don't know what I do, I compare all things food, pop culture, and nostalgia. But the difference between my comparison show and every other comparison show is I'm ultimately right. So you guys bring me a well-crafted argument I happily destroy on my on-demand audio medium, and we have a whole lot of fun with it. It's basically that show when you and your friends are in the basement laughing it up about what's better, Oreos or Chips Ahoy, NSYNC or Britney Spears, da-da-da-da-da, whatever, and you're having such a great time, you think, man, we should have our own show. This is so entertaining. Well, it's that show. I did it. You didn't. I beat you to it. Here we are.
Nice. No, that's like every podcast starts off with, oh, we're so funny. We should record this. And then they do one episode, maybe, and then it dies within like the next week. And you're probably not as funny as you thought you were. Sorry, to people.
Nor entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah, but it happens. But no, I can say your show is fun. It's fun. And I had to invite you on to when I heard it was the comparison thing. You know, like how you put things together very similar to my show. I couldn't help but notice. And, you know, when someone tiptoes towards your, I don't want to say territory, but towards your gimmick, I got very protective. I was like, what is this about? You know, like he's comparing stuff, but it's really cool. It's really fun. And it's very different from what I do anyway. And yeah. And always being right. I get it.
The heavy burden.
Yeah.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
I understand.
Absolutely. There are some people in this world who thinks you should never dip your chicken McNuggets in ketchup. Those are closed-minded animals, and I'm here to set them straight.
Oh, man. No, that's hilarious. I got very strong opinions about food, too. And it's, man, I'm not a huge ketchup guy, though. I'll be honest.
I'm not either, but there are just some strongholds where it has a place, and to deny them that place is just blasphemy. I'm not one of those people that drowns everything in ketchup, not by any stretch.
Okay.
But if you're in a pinch and you're trying to tell me that ketchup is not a satisfactory option for chicken nuggets, if it's ketchup or nothing, I'm gonna treat the ketchup like gold. Then yes, in that stanza, it is more than sufficient and should be celebrated.
I would only reach for ketchup for nuggets if I'm having 10 plus nuggets, like if I'm really eating nuggets.
Fair enough. If we got multiple options on the table, I'm not saying my argument is you can't tell me it has no place. That's ridiculous.
Okay, cool. I agree. Because like it's not the honey mustard comes before ketchup. Barbecue sauce comes before ketchup. Sweet and sour comes before ketchup. Almost anything, I think comes before ketchup for nuggets. That's where I sit. Yeah.
I'm going to go a step further and say ketchup belongs on the Mount Rushmore. Not the number one, but if we're talking consistently,
Sure.
consistently, it needs to be at that
Sure.
fourth spot at the very least. Okay. Honey mustard, I am not in the mood for honey mustard base dipping 100% of the time. Not 100%. There are sessions I'm going to take off every now and again. If you told me ketchup had to be a required dipping option in 100% of all chicken nugget-based interaction, shenanigans, Shawshank Redemption, Chicago, then yes, I can live with ketchup every single time.
All right. I respect it. I respect it. It's up there. Man. All right, cool. Let's what do I have to ask you? There's something I gotta add. Tell Oh yeah. People, here are the rules to the game.
There are two rules to this game slash conversation. Rule number one, you must always answer the question no matter what. If you have no preference towards one or the other, you say the phrase flip a coin, meaning that each choice is 50-50 to you and that one is neither worse or better than the other. But that rarely happens, so it may not get used. Rule number two, whoever asks the question doesn't have to answer it if they choose not to. These rules exist because as the questions become harder to answer, the rules become harder to follow.
This week, we have a Red Band episode, so the questions asked and topics discussed should be family friendly. If you want to check out the Blue Versions podcast where the questions are just, you know, they're friendlier, check them out. Wait, did I say that right? This week, the episodes are Red Bands. There will be cursing. It will not be family friendly. Check out the blue ones if you have sensitive ears. But all the questions, all the episodes are, I encourage you to watch them all. But this one, if you're a child, I don't know, go talk to your parent before you listen to this one, I think.
And stop
Yeah.
perusing the internet if you're a child. Go outside and play.
Yeah, real talk. AJ, just want to remind you, if you have any different questions for me or variations of questions that I've asked, this is a conversational podcast. You're not interrupting, but in, you know, just let me know. Quick bonus point disclaimer to listeners, everything is hypothetical. If you're offended by this episode, at me. But I probably won't answer. I probably ignore it, but you can at me and you could do it. And you respect your right to do that. Every week I say that, but it's true. Lastly, before we begin, AJ, is there anything you want to ask or declare? Are there any inherent slash mental biases you know you may have?
I just ask no politics, religion, or abortion-based discussions. I have my own opinions. There's just a time and a place, and we're here to have fun. The world's a heavy-handed, harsh place where people just aren't getting along. Let's have some fun. If we're taking time in our personal time, let's not argue for fun. Not argue.
Yeah,
Life's
just
heavy.
get, yeah.
Life's heavy. Let's keep it light.
Yeah. I feel that. No, it's true. All right, cool. First question, here we go. Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
All right, admittedly, I got to be an open book here. I retired from soft drinks in 2008. Like
Whoa.
I have not had a legitimate soda in that long. If I'm feeling spicy, if in my 40 years on this planet I decide to fill my body with a carbonated devil, I will reach for a Coke Zero. So I can answer your question clearly, but I'm going to be transparent. I'm not a soda guy. Coca-Cola, six times out of the week and twice on Sunday. It's not a discussion. Pepsi died on my palate back in the mid-90s, around the time Britney Spears gave up on it.
Oh,
Yeah, bring back Pepsi points and you can win me back. I did take part in Pepsi points in the 90s. If you weren't alive to see that, you missed out on a real good time.
is that when you got points for getting Pepsi? Is that I'm showing my age here, but I don't. Is that when? Yeah, explain. What was it? What was it?
Question for you. How old are you?
I'm 27.
Ooh, we're about to see a big generational gap. Okay. For those of you who don't know, in the 90s, there was this thing called Pepsi Points. When you had a 20 ounce, you bought a 20 ounce on the label, there's a little circular icon that said 1 point. The tall boy was like 2 points that you would buy in the ringer in the grocery store. The big cube 24 pack was like 10 points or something like that. 2 liters were like 3 points. The weirdo 3 liters, which I don't think they even make anymore. I said, I haven't drank soda in so long, but back in the day, you could buy 3 liters of like name brand soda, and that was like 4 points.
Is that like the Sasha soda that you would get at like Dollar Tree and stuff? Like there's these three, they're like they're bigger than 2 liters, they're pretty fat and brown.
They used to make
Though.
them 3 liters for Pepsi in the 90s.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't think they
Okay.
do anymore, do they?
I haven't seen those in a long time, but I think I know what you're talking about with 3 liters and with like they're called like Sasha. It's like a brand of soda or something.
The big
Yeah.
fat, the thick boys. Like I said, I'm a child of the night of the early 90s slash late 80s. Shaquille O'Neal's Big Slam. Yes, I was part of the generation that saw Shaq start to endorse everything on earth 10 times over. The Shaquille O'Neal had his own serving size of Pepsi. It was called the Shaq Big Slam. The gas station soda is 20 ounces. The Shaq was a 32 boy. It was just shy of 40.
Whoa.
Yeah, Shaq had his own. Forget brand. Forget brand. He had his own serving size, ladies and gentlemen. His own serving size. That's how hard this man was endorsing things. It was literally called the Shaq Big Slam. And it was like how a 20 ounce was, your 20 ounce soda was one Pepsi point. This was like three. And it was like 7 points more. Long story short, you clipped out all your points, you collected them, and there was like a cutoff when Pepsi said we're going to stop doing Pepsi points. And there was a free catalog you could request by mail of free stuff you could buy with all these Pepsi points.
Wow.
Shirts, beach chairs, posters, because, you know, every kid was dying for a Pepsi poster. But I think it was a Shaq poster as like a tie-in or something. So that definitely worked. I'm trying to think. The commercial, though, is what really garnered national attention. The commercial said, like, you can get anything with Pepsi, and it showed all the prizes and, like, beach balls and stuff. Like, and if you really play your cards right, it was like, T-shirt, 500 Pepsi points. Beach chair, 200 Pepsi points. Harrier jet, 1 million Pepsi points. And it was like some teenage kid holding his Pepsi going, whoa, collect your Pepsi points today. Cut off is this date. Make sure you mail them in and get your prizes. A kid actually accumulated the fictitious number of jet points to get from Pepsi and went to Pepsi and said, where's my jet? And sued. It's a thing you can Google. Like, you could Google this right now. It was a real thing that happened. A kid did it. And like Pepsi had to, like, I'm pretty sure, like, settle out of court with the kid. Like, the kid didn't back down. He's like, no, I want my jet. Like, kid, come on. It was just a commercial. They didn't put a disclaimer up saying there is no jet to be bought. Do not send Pepsi 1 million points. Da, 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 da. They didn't put that part up.
Leonard versus PepsiCo Inc. The commercial, which offered the jet for $7 million Pepsi points, got the attention of John Leonard, a 20-year-old business student, in place of, oh my God.
Yeah, this really happened.
Oh, I'm dead.
Shout out to you guys that missed the 90s. It was a wild time. We were doing some wild shit, man.
Man, I'm like an early 90s to 2000s kid. I do love the 90s, but I had to retroactively go back to love it. This, and I don't know, that I never heard of this. This is
Pepsi
so...
Pepsi points was intense. Like, I was in middle school when this happened, so like every Pepsi in the vending machine was eradicated at lunch.
I believe it.
Couldn't keep Pepsis in the building. Like when lunch started, we had to have a talking to by our principal, like, you can't run in the cafeteria because the second you broke the plane, everyone sprinted to the Pepsi machine and bought like 10 Pepsis.
Wow.
People were spending their whole lunch money on like Pepsis and just cutting the points and drinking like half of one of them.
That's so amazing. Like
the janitor would be cleaning up, there'd just be like 40 discarded Pepsis that weren't even open and just had the point clipped off of it. Because you're using 11-year-old logic. Like, I just spent $20 on Pepsis, so hopefully I can send them 500 points to get a shirt roughly valued at $11.
Whoa.
But
That's hilarious.
We all had a great time. My dad used to cut like grass as like a side job, and he would like bring us along. Like, we were aggressively middle class people. My dad, he had like a little mini side service where he would like cut lawn, and he got a contract to cut the lawn at like all the car washes in my town. So, you know, it's a typical drag your son along and your little brother, and we're just kind of like playing around, throwing the football back and forth. And it hit me. I was like, wait a minute. When I go here, they haven't taken the trash out. So I would get some rubber gloves from my mom, and I would take out every discarded 20-ounce Pepsi, and I would cut the points off of it. So, like, I was accumulating, like, a ton of Pepsi points. Like, tons and tons of Pepsi points.
And this family didn't know that they're throwing away points.
Away points.
They were,
He had another side business where he would haul junk cars off of your property. Like, you know, so-and-so's a widow, and a car rusted out 10 years ago and her husband never got around to it. Now she's been on a property, like trees have grown over it. My dad had a service where he would say, for $100, I'll just come take it off your property. She's like, really? And he would do it. He'd drag us along. He'd take it to the landfill and he'd sell it for weight and make like, you know, way more than $100.
Man.
So he'd take it away. And he kept the scrap metal money. So me and my brother are just sitting at the landfill. I was like, hey, and it hit me. I was like, hey, where's your recycling? He's like, it's over there. I was like, can I, like, look through it before you guys sort it? It's like, yeah, sure. Knock yourself out, kid. So there would just be a mountain of Pepsis. 20-ounce, the can boxes, like, as many as, and they was like, yeah, have at it, whatever. I had my own little box cutter. Like, I had a little mini Pepsi business.
Oh my God.
So when it came time to turn in Pepsi points, I wasn't turning in like 500 or 50 or whatever it was to get the free shirt. I had like 3,000-4,000 Pepsi points, like an insane number. I didn't have that Jet Pepsi money. Don't get it twisted. What? But I had that Lexus Pepsi money, like a gently used 3-year-old Lexus Pepsi money. Like, I got like 8 shirts, a beach chair, a beach ball. Like, I had a Pepsi haul when it was all said and done.
And they delivered on this. They literally, I mean, besides the Jet, apparently, but I guess they did. They settled, but
settled. Yeah,
they actually sent this stuff to you, and it worked.
Yeah, like you cut out the order form in the back of the catalog that you send off for. They would send you the catalog for free. You just had to request them.
That's crazy. And
you check off all the stuff you want. Make sure you have the appropriate number of points required to get it. And like if you were short 2 or 3 points, they would charge you like 50 cents a point to like round up to get what you're looking for or something like that.
We're going down this hole really hard, but how much were these points? This was it 1-to-1?
1,000 questions with.
Hey, yeah. Was it 1-to-1? Was it like each point is worth 1 point? Like each bottle is a point? Was it like that?
What do you mean? How so?
If you buy a bottle of Pepsi and you take off 1 point from that bottle, was it 1-to-1? Like this one bottle equals 1 Pepsi point, 2 bottles equal 2 Pepsi points, or was it 1 bottle equals maybe 5, 1 bottle equals 10?
Well, like, and I don't remember the point distribution, but as an example, 20-ounce bottle would have 1 little logo Pepsi point that you cut off on the corner. If you bought a 6-pack of them, they all obviously had the 1 point on each one of them.
Okay, so it was 1-to-1. It was just, didn't matter how big it was. It was just.
It did, because if you bought a 2-liter, it was like 3. And like.
Okay.
3-liter was like 4. And the Shaq Big Slam was like 2. Like the greater quantity of the serving, larger point. The cases that you would buy, the 24 cube.
Yeah.
That would be like 20 Pepsi points.
That's a lot of Pepsi.
But back in the 90s, families just had cases of soda sitting around. Gatorade wasn't out here like that yet.
Pepsi knew how to peddle, man. Pepsi knew how to advertise.
So it was brilliant. They had to have made so much money in exchange for what? T-shirts? What did they really give me?
Yeah, that's nothing.
Beach chair? Man. So yeah. And if you were like, if you wanted 20, if you were trying to collect on 20,000 Pepsi points worth of stuff and you had 19,983, they said a little thing like, if you're just short, just you can round up and get what you want. Like, you can buy additional points. 1 point is like 50 cents.
Yeah.
Because there's no point in like, you can't take it with you. I put all my points in there and like my mom wrote a check for like $1.75 for the rest of the points to round up. And like 6 weeks later, I had this huge box with all this free Pepsi stuff.
That's awesome. It sounds like you had a fun childhood. I mean, that's one story, but man, that's crazy.
Interesting first question. We went on quite a tangent.
We did. I was not expecting that.
No, I wasn't expecting to talk about Pepsi points when I woke up this morning.
Man, we're going to jump into something completely different. Would you rather live in a world where the Purge is real or live in Zombieland? Zombieland has happened. Let's say you kind of, you survived the initial outbreak and now you're in Zombieland. I'm assuming you've seen these two movies, by the way. I had to assume you've seen either Zombieland or The Purge.
I'm a zombie aficionado. I've seen all things zombie. Perfect. As long as they're worth seeing. Because as you know, in the zombie community, some of this stuff is well below mid.
Yeah.
Like, so I've seen every your World War Z, your Zombieland for your lighthearted stuff, your Walking Dead, your Dawn of the Dead. I've seen all, 28 days, weeks later. Everything worth seeing in the zombie realm I've seen.
Gotcha.
The Purge, I've never seen a Purge movie, but I'm well aware of what it is, the premise, the idea, like the catalog, well aware.
Okay. Got it. That's all you need.
Yeah, been this close to pulling the trigger a couple of times. One day, I'm a xenophile. I'll see it eventually.
Maybe the first one, if you're going to see any. Well, actually, the fifth one is kind of good in a very cheesy, don't think about it too hard. In fact, all of them are kind of good in that don't think about it too hard type of ways. Because if you look at it with an actual lens of logic, it starts to break down a bit. So the first one was decent. The rest get Michael Bay stupid. And the fifth one is really Michael Bay stupid. So it becomes funnier because of it goes like Transformers. It doesn't care about it. Everyone in the world is either a psychopath or a saint. And you're like, what's going on? But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Bay philosophy of once you get so deep in a catalog of we're doing stuff. See, everybody's having fun. Just have fun. Just come in and have fun. That is the Michael Bay like aura of when you get like to his third or fourth movie in a catalog. Like, see, huh? We're doing stuff.
Yeah, look, yeah. Oh, that Transformer turns into a person. Because were you able to do that before? Don't question it. They can do that now. Why not? They're alien robot. I thought it was only vehicles and technology. It could turn into a person now. Shut up. Watch. Like, okay. Yep,
alien cars. You were willing to get on board with that. I'm taking it a step further. Like, I'm
taking it a step further. But the original source material. Shut up, nerd. I'm giving you what you want. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go down this rabbit. Michael Bay pisses me off.
Yeah, it's like, what? Huh? We got John Cena now. Did you see? Huh? He's here? You like him enough? Here? Huh?
No, shut up. My bet. We don't need, not you shut up, but Michael Bay. You know, just the whole, it's like, it's just, we don't.
Man, Michael Bay's like, okay, hear me out. Anthony Hopkins. Huh? Huh? Everybody likes Anthony Hopkins. How much money did he throw at Anthony Hopkins to take part in this crap? Like, at the end of the day, it's a business. These men need to, at the end of the day, it's a business. These men need to feed their families and keep affording the lifestyles they've afforded themselves. Anthony, if you pay an actor enough, he'll take part in any mindless crap. Like, I'll give you $600 million.
Like, oh, well, yeah.
To talk to a blue screen for a week and a half. All right, whatever, sure.
Anthony Hopkins, he's already compromised himself before. I think him and Patrick Stewart have done that. And like, of course, no disrespect to Sir Anthony Hopkins. I mean, he's a phenomenal actor, but he knows it. He knows he's already established himself in film and in performance, so he can do all these weird things, and it's not going to take from him. So, yeah, to give me the money. I'm Odin. I'm Thor's dad. I can do this. What does this take from me? No,
you got to keep these lights on, baby.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame the money. But yeah, sorry. Purge, Zombieland.
Purge. All right. We're not going to make this political, but we're going to be real about it. Zombies, this is your life now. There's no electricity. There's no running water. The thing that always sticks with me in these zombie tales is, man, everybody must smell like shit. Just so bad. Yeah. Dry underwear and socks. You must have terrible jock itch and athlete's foot. It must be so bad. You know, if you had a long day outside, you've been doing stuff, and like you rub something light colored in the back of your neck, and you look at it like, oh, Jesus, let me go take a shower. What in the
world? Yeah.
That's your life now.
I think that I agree, but I think that more about period pieces. When you ever see someone like ancient Egypt or ancient Rome or ancient whatever, like only the elites showered, and everyone else was just like a dirt person.
You live in a perpetual state of dirt balls.
Oh, and like, no spoilers to Dune. Or Dune 2, because I think currently Dune 2 is still out in theaters. Okay, this isn't a spoiler, but when I see things like Dune, and obviously I think they have showers in Dune, but the people on the planet Fremen, you know, like the Dune, the desert planet, I'm like, where? Like, they first off, you know, the system where they recycle water, like water is so precious to them. Are showers even a thing? Like is it a thing? Because what's it called, main character knows showers, he knows they exist, he's from off planet. These guys, oh my god,
never seen Dune, and I plan on seeing it.
That was not a spoiler, that's just a fact of life for them, and I can't, it distracts me every time, and I'm like,
but I'm gonna go with the Purge. I'd rather live in the Purge, because the Purge is essentially just like, spend the night in Philadelphia. Like, all right, in Philly, it's cool. It's like, or Detroit for the sequel. Like, oh yeah, I've been in Detroit. Like, it's like, AJ, oh god, someone burst in. Like, we gotta buckle this place down. I've got news that's gonna startle and make you question society as a whole. Like, what is it? Like, for the next 24 hours, white people are coming for us. Like, yeah, no shit. What's the news? Yeah. Duh. Motherfucker, they can look around? Shit. No. They're heavily armed and the government's okay with it. Like, yeah, duh. Oh yeah. Well, in other news, water is wet and the sun is hot. Okay, so you said you had something to share with me. What is it? Like, I paused the movie for this.
Oh, that's hilarious.
We should get ready. Like, been ready. But 10 years now, whatever. All right. Okay. Yeah. Just lock the door, I guess. All right. Shit. It's like, no. The police are in on it. Yeah. Look. they're part of it. Okay. What are you going to tell me next? Somehow it's the government's lining their pockets with it financially somehow. Is that what's up? How did you know? Because I have.
Oh my god! It's too funny. You're nailing this movie too hard. I've never seen it. You've nailed it. Yeah, you don't understand. The poor people are the first people to go. All right. Yeah.
Don't fucking say.
It's based off of money. Oh wow! Really?
By the third one, they're just like, all right. This is a lifestyle now. We have to adapt and live within this. Like, we should have a rallying cry to really get everyone on the same page and understand the gravity of us revolting against them and ultimately taking over. How about eat the rich? Is that what you're gonna say? Yeah, motherfucker, we know.
You guys are good. Yeah, it's classism. It's classism. The movie or the movies. Classism equals racism equals eat the rich.
Chose to live in North Philly or Detroit as a whole, this was just part of it. Like, there's no purge. This is Tuesday. That's what it is.
But you said no politics, boy.
What about politics? It's the world. Sorry.
No. I'm not a man. I'm just saying. Is that so late?
Sorry. You know, it's bad. That wasn't even political. Like, yeah, it's just how things work. Yeah. Like the Purge, aka Philadelphia on a Tuesday.
So you are picking the Purge then, Philadelphia. Yeah,
and you only have to survive one night. They don't have drinking water in Flint, Michigan. Like, that's just how things work now. Like, and you think you're gonna scare them? The people are coming for them for one day. It kind of is the apocalypse here. Like, all right, sure.
Smart.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, man. All right, dang, Lam. Let's. I agree. Let's move on to this next one. Would you rather be able to mentally download books or mentally download movies? And like, if I say mentally download, just like you touch it, zoop, you got it. Like if you touch a book, just physically, whoop, you got the contents. Or if you touch a movie, that like the disc or the film cover, whatever it is, like zoop, you got it. Doesn't matter how many movies it is, doesn't matter how old it is, as long as you're touching it. Even the raw film, you got it.
I'm going with books.
Okay.
It's just like that movies are an experience for me. I like sitting front and center and like taking it in. And maybe I like what I see. Maybe I don't like what I see. But the ambiance and the location are part of it. Like, I'm a big reader. I've rediscovered my passion for reading over the last few years. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that all this instant gratification, freebase style entertainment is killing people's attention spans.
I agree with you.
Like, I have to constantly say to my wife, like, put the phone down. Like, we put on this movie. It's a good movie. Let's just take it in for what it is. Like, you'll be okay without your phone for 2 hours. 2 hours. Like, if there's a Hulu forced commercial, pick it up real quick then and kind of pick up on what you're missing. But all in all, like, this is a great movie. And you just miss, like, the big payoff because you needed to scroll an extra 100th time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of it. I work in entertainment indirectly. So when people are like, yeah, it's just too boring. Like, we're 30 seconds in. Like, yeah, this is boring. Like, but it's a 2 hour offering. We're only 30 seconds in. How are you bored? Like, there just wasn't enough for me. Like, it was 30 seconds. I'm a believer in long form entertainment. I support long form entertainment. So yeah, I like the idea of taking the information from a book and like unpacking it mentally and like seeing meanings within meanings and like seeing the layers and like compartmentalizing that mentally. And it gives me more joy taking in by a book versus a movie, which I feel like is an experience that is location based and geographic based and like condition based. And that's just not the way to enjoy a movie. You're going to get more out of doing that with a book than you will a movie, in my opinion. So answer is book.
Man, I can't even think of another argument for movies. I can't even think of a way to argue that I 100% agree. I love books too. I haven't gotten to a good book in a while. I always say to myself, I need a good book. Like, I need to get back into a book because I know when I get into that world, I can lose myself in it. When I was reading, it sounds sad when I was reading, but when I find a good book, I would take it to the dinner table. I'd be in the car. It was an addiction, like binge binge watching. I do that with books. So, I mean, it's been a good while since I've done that, but yeah, it's a really good passion I gotta get back into. And it wouldn't be as gratifying if I can just touch a book and zip out the information, but there are so many books. And there's like textbooks, history books, science books, math books. I can all of the knowledge I can get would be crazy. And movies, I want to sit back and enjoy them too. Like I want that. I actually do want it. It's long form entertainment. That's what you need. Is I mean, I would say some things can be too long, and especially if the pacing's off, things get too boring. Killers of the Flower Moon is a pretty good example of that, which is well made technically, but I'm not gonna watch that again. Just to pick an example for a really long movie that's 3 hours. The Irishman was pretty long too. But when a movie's good and the pacing is good, you're able to kind of just sit back and enjoy it. I don't recommend Snyder all the time, but the Snyder Cut was actually pretty good too. And that was like 4 hours freaking long. I was crazy. But
Blew by, it was magical in every way.
when the
Thank
pacing is good, it's good. And
you. I
yeah.
don't know if we're going to go to the DC rabbit hole. I'm a DC guy, and that franchise was given way. It was it perfect? No. Was it better than Marvel? No. It was given a lot of flack and not given the credit it deserved. There was a lot of good things that happened, but I digress. The two things that I read on whatever your hopes, dreams, and goals are. Find a person in that arena who has everything you want. Mimic their disciplines, their habits, because you'll never be them. You'll never have exactly what they have. But if you mimic their disciplines and habits, you'll find yourself in a path to get there a lot quicker than you realized. And again, you select someone who has everything you want. And I take it a step further. I always read their autobiography. Like I want to know how you not like we see the end result. I want to hear more about the process. I want to hear more about the strife. I want to hear more about the pivots and how you got from point A to point B. I don't want to just see the finish line. I want to see the whole race. So I will read an autobiography of someone who has something that was accomplished, something that I want, and Stephen King. I think me and Stephen King are on the same like wavelength. If you want to get, forget about the actor, forget about the set piece or like the hoopla around it. Let me know the premise. If it's truly an out of the box, unique premise, movie or book wise, that'll get me way faster than a top name actor or buzz.
Yeah, I
Like
agree.
truly. Truly a unique premise. Like if you get me to go like, oh my God, that's interesting. Like maybe it didn't even win me over. Like, okay, I gotta know. How does this work? Then I'll dive in. Like that's what gives me a good premise.
Yeah. No, I love good premise. I love out-of-the-box ideas. And my favorite horror movie is well, this isn't original anymore, but back when it was first proposed, Nightmare on Elm Street, because of me hearing about, I was first off, I was a kid when I heard it, and I was like, "That's what?" Because everyone has to go to sleep. It's like a trap that everyone has to fall into, and that premise fueled how many sequels? I mean, they got worse as they went on, but it's still a pure, very scary, very entertaining premise. And like all your best movies have great premises. Jurassic Park is a brilliant premise with let's take the dino. It's in the scale of it, what you can do with it. The Fly, The Thing. There's so many. Take the premise is the movie, is the story. And Inception is one of my favorite movies, and I love that premise. It doesn't matter how complex it is. You build a story around your premise, but that's what hooks. That's what gets it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Man, and also a good life advice too about picking books and mimicking someone who you see. Like, yeah, that's just good life advice. Period. Doesn't have to be books. Just that's just life advice.
I'll give a very quick recommendation, whether it's the book or the Hulu series, 11/22/63. It's a Stephen King adaptation starring James Franco. It's a like the premise is very simple. James Franco is a guy going through a divorce. His friend is a local restaurant owner. He sits down, his wife shows him the divorce papers, and his friend's like, I'll give you guys some time. Comes back literally 3 minutes later, he's aged exponentially, he's clearly sick, his beard's grown in, and he's doubled over in pain. He's like, what did I just miss? Like, come over tomorrow and I'll explain it. There's a wormhole, a time lapse in his pantry. And in that time lapse, it's November 22nd, 1963. And no matter what amount of time you're gone in that worm, you can be there for years. When you come back, only 3 minutes has passed. And I was like, what? What level of drugs was this man on?
That's funny. I mean, I don't know. That sounds like
It's
old.
wild.
This sounds like the movie Old, with Shyamalan. And it sounds like Narnia, The Chronicles of Narnia, with the Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, where they go in and come back in time dilation kind of,
But there,
well,
but there's
on steroids, but yeah.
a twist. Like, what you do in there affects everything out here. Like, you can change the future. However, if you go back in, it undoes everything you did.
Okay.
So it's not
Okay.
forever. Like, if you went in there and changed it and came back, this is the world now. Great. If you ever go back in there, you undid everything.
Okay. I'm a bit more fascinated now. Okay. And do you go back? Okay, I was gonna ask you a follow-up question, but we gotta move on. And maybe I should probably read this book. But
It's
okay.
also available as a series on Hulu if you want to watch it.
I might go book. I might go book. This sounds like a better book read because there, I feel like details would be important for this
M.
one.
Night Shyamalan's movies crap out with me so hard, and I think the same thing every single time. Like, man, this would be a better book than a movie.
Yes.
I think that every
Yes.
time I watch one of these movies. The premise
Yeah.
is great. The premise is
Yeah.
great every time. God, these would be better books.
As I disagree with old though. I think old would suck as a book too. I'll say that. That was whack. I couldn't.
Still about a lot of his books.
I can't abide with that one. Next question.
Yeah.
Would you rather? Oh, this one's an easy one. Would you rather? Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not easy. I won't say that. Would you rather eat a 3-day-old bowl of Fruit Loop cereal or eat a handful of live earthworms?
Oh God, give me the cereal. I'm not, I'm not a bug guy. Yeah, I don't even have a deep-rooted answer for you. Give me the cereal. I'm gonna have nuclear bubble guts, and I'm lactose intolerant to really triple down
Oh, great.
on how problematic this is about to get for me. I'll put my mouthpiece on, but put my mouthpiece in, put a hot towel around the back of my neck and buckle in the bathroom before I'm eating bugs. So yeah. Not
just
an option.
to be fair, I don't know what I pick here either. I guess I pick the and I might pick the I might pick the okay, I might pick the worms
Oh.
and here's why. And here's why I would With the worms, I would like eat like a maybe like I'd stuff them in like a cookie or cookie dough or something like that or a pizza.
That's not
And
what they said. The question was handful of live earthworms.
yes, that's what the question said, but I can also follow it up with like food. I could put food in that same hand and eat it with the food.
I feel like you're
Heck.
I feel like you're making this more palatable. The question seemed clear. They didn't say blend the cereal up and put it in like a cake. No. I heard 3-day-old bowl of cereal, fistful of earthworms into your mouth and consumed. Of course, we can church up anything. I mean, but the
Yeah.
question gave the serving very clearly.
That handful of earthworms, yes, I can eat that, but I can follow it up. I can do the same thing with the cereal. You can follow it up with any. It doesn't say what you have to do afterwards.
Okay, so
So
chase it in essentially.
chase it, yeah. Maybe I'll do the cereal and I'll chase it with, I don't know, some heavy alcohol. I don't know what can save
Pen
that.
penicillin. Like, some antibiotics.
I don't know what's going to save you from either, really.
Like, yeah,
Oh.
something medical will be following the chasing of this cereal.
Dang. Yeah, that one's right. I'm going to move on to a different one. This one is an open-ended question. It's more of a hypothetical situation than it is a would you rather. So follow me here. Your romantic partner is dying of a crippling muscular disease.
Oh,
They're all
God.
Yeah, just follow me here. They're always in pain. The antidote is literally inside of your mother's chest. Like
Oh.
back, and you can't remove
Where?
it. You can't follow me here. You can't remove it without risking killing her. One day, your mother gets into a car accident and goes into a coma. The decision is solely up to you to unplug her or not. Do you, and this is like a regular coma, do you unplug your mother to end your partner's suffering and get that antidote?
I'm gonna, my mother and my partner both listen to this show, so you put me in quite a good situation.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
I keep laughing because because I'm thinking about. Oh man, sometimes I'll start the episode and someone will be like, "Oh yeah, stay away from I don't want to talk about marital things or I don't want to talk about this thing." And you said religion, politics. I'm like, "Hey, this is fine. This is
So
this fits."
I would think outside of the box. and talk to the doctor, like, hey, can we save both people and just extract whatever this is from my mother? Like, we don't have the technology for that. Like, yes, you do. True.
Can't be done, sir. So sorry. We can't do it.
I'm going to walk outside, let nature take its course. I mean, I'm just not going to put on the internet for consumption who I'm choosing in a hypothetical, my wife or my mom. You're not getting me fucked up out here. That's all. I know the rules of the show. I'm a pretty game guy. I got to live in this world, pal. And you are setting me up for failure. Absolutely not. I don't know what to tell you. Everybody lives, everybody dies. Don't, you're not putting it on me. And no, and I'm not. And if this was a loaded question, I asked if I'm sucking my mom's titties to save my wife, fuck you. I'm not answering that either. It's disgusting. No. So I am here for the betterment of the show. This not taking part. Hardest. No, hardest.
My job in this podcast is to nail people with, oh, I can't answer that. So I'm taking the dub. A lot of people are like, oh, I can answer anything. Can you? Can you really?
Yeah, you might have found I'm as open a book as it gets, and I'm a pretty unhinged guy. Yeah, I got nothing. It's not that I don't have an answer. I'm just not giving it on the internet to be held against me in perpetuity. Hey,
don't your answer, the way I hear it, is that you're not making a decision. You're just gonna, like, the doctor turns to you, sir, agent, we have to do, what do you want to do? And your wife's in the corner, like, and your mother's in the bed, quiet, and you just walk out the hospital and you're just not gonna.
It's as the kids say, it's above me now. And I just, like, walk out. Like, I got, it's above my pay grade, guys.
You're not gonna do it. You're not gonna make anything. You're not gonna make a call. You're just gonna.
Yeah, like, Lord, take who you intend to take today. I will not be weighing in on the process.
Mm-hmm.
Or, Lord, save who are you meant to save? This mm-hmm. is, yeah. So answer is, I'm not answering, and I'm very sorry to everyone listening. I got to live in this house. I really don't know what to tell you.
All right. Okay. I mean, I'm
confident I can answer any other question.
We breaking the rules, but it's okay. I can't even flip a coin on this one because there's no, it's a hypothetical situation. There's not even options. It's a situation and you're walking away. So, hey, I respect it. We'll move on. I don't even have an answer for this anyway. I don't got an answer for this anyway, but I elect to pass myself up on this one anyway, because it does suck. Yeah. So
yeah.
Moving on. All right. This one is a bit more friendly. It's a bit more stupid. Would you rather have both of your legs have dog faces on them and they are constantly barking at each other, or punch anyone who gives you a compliment hard? And you can only explain why you had to do that afterwards.
Oh, the punch, and that's not even a debate whatsoever.
Really?
I am a peaceful, fun-loving, light-hearted man who believes in hand distribution when the situation calls for it. And, like, I don't balk once we've reached that territory. Like, oh, well, I mean, hand distribution is the only path left. It's fine. Not even upset about it. It's just where we're at with things. However, one of the most triggering things for me in life is I can't sleep unless it is pitch black and totally silent. It sucks being cursed with this. It's the, like, if I'm absolutely tired, like I've been up for 19 hours or something, then yeah, I can just pass out then. But if it's time to lay it down, get a good night's sleep, I have to have ideal conditions, and it's the worst. Like, it's the worst.
Okay.
So yeah. If the dogs are on my knees and they're barking, that's probably going to happen while I'm sleeping, and I can't have it. Like, I purposely bought a house and checked out the dog neighbor situation to see where we're at with that.
Wow. Interesting. I never, that's, I was like, where is he going with the dog thing? Oh, okay. Yeah. You can't, I mean, the sleep thing. Sorry. Like, you can't, yeah, man.
Yeah. I can't sleep. Yeah. I need to sleep. Like, I'm one of those people, like, so just stay up all night. Fuck you. No. No. Why would you do that? That's horrible.
That's a would you rather question of its own. You need pitch black and perfect silence. I mean, that's a struggle. Sorry.
For sure. It's not a choice. Like, I just learned this as a kid. Like, it sucks. It sucks. Like, roommates and things like that. Like, my other job involves me traveling a lot. And sometimes I have to share a room.
Yeah.
I'm just so sick. Like, I go in there like, well, I'm just not going to really sleep. It's fine. Like, I know when I get up in the morning, like, I'm not going to have a good night's sleep. I try to do something to like exhaust myself the night before, like get very little sleep the night before, just so like I'm really tired when I get there. So I can just like pass
Yeah.
out. Yep, it's a curse. It stinks.
Man, but there's a way, like if you're so exhausted or you've been up so long that you will just eventually override that and pass out.
Yes, so I guess I'll give kind of a qualifier. My main job, I'm a logistics material planner for a company here in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a boring job. I work in professional wrestling. So I'm in planes like a lot, and airports a lot, and hotels a lot. And usually I don't have a roommate. But every now and again, it's a luxury you're just not afforded. There's another, 6'8", 300-pound bodybuilder in the room. It's like, you're gonna snore, aren't you? It's like, oh yeah, like, yep, figured as much. Well, what time do you have to be at the building tomorrow? Wrestlers get to the building a different time than office people like myself. I work in the front office. I'm an event coordinator. Like, well, we have to be at the building at 7 a.m. It's like, yeah, I don't have to be there until 2. Like, all right, well, this is gonna suck. Talk to you later.
Man.
And I just kind of have a restless night of waking up on and off from the snoring and show up to the building exhausted. Smash a coffee, 19-hour work day, and then there's nothing you can do to me at that point. When head meets pillow, I'm going unconscious, luckily.
Yeah.
Wake up, go to the airport with 3 hours of sleep. Yeah. And when I get off that plane and get home, I'm out.
Yeah.
To give you an idea of what it takes for me to sleep through things, slash ideal scenarios and how they're problematic.
Man, that sucks. And I'm sorry. And I might even use that for would you rather later because of the struggle. Yeah. I'll make it more strict, but yeah, no, that sucks.
For sure.
Man. All right. I don't know. We're getting towards the end of this, but I don't know how you are with this isn't science fiction. This is actual theory, and this is just I'm just your thoughts. Parallel Earth theory. Does it even matter if it's true? And what do you think about it? And to explain a bit, if you're not really familiar with the theory, it's pretty much two worlds or two or more worlds that branch off based off of small decisions. So a coin flip, for instance. If it lands heads, leads to a different world, and if it lands tails, leads to a different world, and every decision branches off into a different world. So every world is slightly different from like on small changes to gigantic changes, depending on what happened. And that's parallel Earth theory. It's like a
Butterfly effect,
butterfly, like
multiverse,
multiverse type theory that
flashpoint.
if you can, and it means there's another version of you out there somewhere that is doing something that you always wanted to do or doing something you really hate to do. No, if you knew this was true, would you care? What does it mean to you? It doesn't matter.
Wouldn't give a shit. At the end of the day, I mean, like, it's kind of like flat Earth theory to me. Like, it's like, I'm telling you, the Earth is flat. Cool. Tomorrow they call in the news and say, we lied, guys. Earth is flat. What does that change about your day? You still have to go to work tomorrow. Like, nothing, there has no, people that get fired up about that, like, it changes absolutely nothing for you. It's like, all right, we were wrong. The Earth is flat. All these years, like, got it. Told you so. Okay.
Well, hold on. I think if that happened, my faith would be broken. I'd say,
Whoa, you didn't, the government, you did, this distrust for that they're lying to us?
hold on. It's not that the government is lying. It's that the world has been lying for years.
Really?
Okay, hold on. In a
Like,
big way, this is a foundational natural science. Like the world being around is something that's supposed to be kind of agreed upon. No matter what religion, no matter what region, no matter what political party, we all agree for the most part, the earth is round, just like rocks are hard and water is wet. So if someone told me, hey, the earth is flat, I mean that my mind would break a bit. I'd be like, they kept that big of a lie going for so long. I'd be like, that's what that would get me. That would get me. That's bigger than the lie I know.
The information will always fundamentally be true in its own existence. However, who is in charge of the distribution of that information? Is there a governing body that oversees the distribution of that information at a large global scale? Wouldn't that governing body ultimately either be or answer to the government?
The only government that could do that would be some type of Illuminati type thing, because it's a world truth. It's not an American truth
Surely,
that the
our
world is round.
And surely our country's government would have no hand in something of that level. They would be completely oblivious to it, hands off, don't involve us, especially if there's money to be made. Like, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, just a
Yeah.
real is. Like, a lie of that level, the government's going to be involved at some level.
They
like,
would, but I can't. My mind breaks at that level because I do entertain conspiracy theories. I'm not a conspiracy theorist myself, but everything to me is maybe true until proven so. So, like, you know, things that are conspiracy theories become true, become fact later, or some things are just dumb. But I don't disqualify nothing. That's where I am baseline. But a theory of this magnitude, the world being round, first off, I don't, like, scientifically, it's not possible because all these other things. I mean, I have to take the scientist's words for this and that and that. I mean, I could do the math myself. I mean, I went to school for mechanical engineering, not for geography or earth science. So I'm not the authority, but I do see how they got the measure. I do see how, like, they take the measurement here and the shadow here and whatever, and, like, it makes sense why the earth is round. So I would break. I'd be like, how did you trick me? Like, how did you trick everyone for how many years? You know, my mind would break.
Well, at the end of the day, let's say the earth being flat is true, I think we can both agree the government would be aware of this information decades, maybe even centuries before it was ever made public knowledge. Would you agree on that? Yes. They would know exponentially quicker than the general public.
True.
That meaning they would be forced with a choice. Are we going to perpetuate the correct information or the incorrect information? Correct? And then distribution among schools, obviously our own space program, things of that nature, like general ideology and its distribution and the way it's spread across the world would be funneled through the government.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like our access to that information is ultimately provided to us by way third party through the government.
That's true. I agree.
So they would be forced with a choice, and they chose to give us the incorrect information. So I'm going to circle back to my initial point of the government lied to us. Come on. No.
But why? It would not drive you mad. Why?
We could slap that why on all of it every single day.
What political gain is there to be made from lying about the earth's shape?
And that's what I counter every flat earther with. Like, the root of conspiracy is gain. Someone has to gain something. You don't conspire for absolutely no reason.
Yes.
That's not human nature. Like, there's to be gain. Maybe it's not monetary, but there is gain. There is fuel for the lie that creates a party's gain. That's why you did it. If not, if there's no gain, they wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, flat earth, what's the gain? What is it? Parallel universe, what's the gain? Who gains?
Yeah.
Are we going into that parallel universe and gaming the system to make money and bring it back? Like, okay.
Then yeah, I can that's different.
That.
Yeah.
I could see the game there. And I would completely understand why you're hiding that from us. Like, are you going in that parallel universe to, like, you know, is it you're gaming the system or the resources in there to bring them back and be profitable on your own? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Completely get why you would do that. Flat Earth. What's the game? A conspiracy of that level. Who's gaining what and what is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I agree. You got me. I agree about that. Yeah. Yeah. And but that only leads to the point that it can't be, because what the hell is there to gain from?
That'd be too hard.
It'd be too hard. There's too many people to keep your hand on. It's too big of a lie, if it is a lie, to keep true. What are you getting from it?
Yeah. And that's not even me dispelling it. Maybe there is a gain. I just don't know what it. If someone tomorrow came with me like, this is why the earth is flat, here's who's profiting from it, and here's the ultimate root of the conspiracy that funnels money, information, power, influence in this person's pocket, and that's why they continue to perpetuate why the earth is flat. And after they got done talking, I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, then I'm willing to entertain the idea that it might be flat then. Until someone can give me that, no one's had a guess. Every time I ask that question to flat earth, they're like, they have nothing. They're like, it just is. Like, the government doesn't want us to know. I believe the government doesn't want us to know things. What's the game? You got to give me something. Guess. Is there a guess? And so it was like, religion. Okay, well, all right. Well,
you can't just.
Why?
That's a. Okay. No, actually, your answer is very smart. Your answer is very smart.
It's just business. Yeah. Life is business.
Yeah. What's the game? It kills a lot of conspiracies on site. Just, well, okay. But why? You know, what? Why? It's, yeah.
Human beings get the human corruption in nature is inherently rooted in gain. Like, I have no motivation to deceive, decept, game the system, or intrinsically funnel the inner workings to my favor without gain. Why am I doing this? There's no gain. That's human nature.
Sometimes they do it just because it feels good. But then again,
but to this scale?
No, not to that scale. Like, yeah, you're talking, people, if I hit you in the shoulder, it's like, you know, I put in a little effort, I got a little chuckle out of it. If I trick you into thinking that your dad is actually this extra dimensional being who has butterfly wings, and like I go to talk to everyone in your life and make them go, yeah, your dad's name is actually Xenothar, and he's from, and like I talk to everyone and I get everyone in your life just to agree and tell you a lie, and I spend how much money doing that just to mess with you, what am I really getting? Like, how much?
Or would it,
maybe if I televise it, it might be hilarious. Maybe a prank show. That'd be
what if you hit him with the purge response? Like, your dad's actually Xenothar and he's a man butterfly. Just look up like, duh, motherfucker, shit. Yeah, I know. what are you gonna tell me is a purge next? Duh. I got eyes. Tell me some shit I don't know.
Purge response. Yeah. If you flip it on me, like, yeah, of course his dad. You don't know his dad is
my father, shit, where you been?
Where all right.
You're a little late to the party, aren't you?
What world am I in?
Well, yeah, there's got to be something. Until there's something, people don't do things. Like, if you're a world-renowned chef and person at table A says, I don't have any food allergies, I just think that onions are the absolute worst thing ever. They don't belong in dishes. They're disgusting.
Onions?
I'm going to place my order and leave every onion out. I can't stomach the idea. And the waiter goes, we actually have one of the best chefs in the world who prides himself on the use of onions. And we're confident that one of these dishes, you would love it, regardless of your predilections towards onions. Like, I don't believe that. Leave the onions out. And if that chef said, I'll show this lady, I'm going to leave the onions in the dish and she won't even taste it, she's going to love it. And he does it. And she eats it. And she says it's the best meal ever. I see why on that scale, is just minute compared to the shape of the earth. I see that situation, why you would mess with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the situations you mess with someone just to see them squirm or prove a point or just have to take some form of satisfaction in. Manipulating the entire existence of humankind based on human science-based ideologies. What was the game? And who was the guy? And how was he getting something out of this?
Yeah. It's just one guy in a room, you know, and the government's going, just sneakering to himself. They don't know.
How old is he? He has to be so old.
Oh my God. What? Since he was around in what, 200 BC?
When?
I don't know.
Like, we can Google when the first space launch, when did Neil Armstrong walk on the moon?
Before Jesus, they knew, like, the Earth, I think, was, like, round.
Like, documented science? We'll look it up right now.
I swear it was BC. I don't know. But I know it was, like, ancient knowledge of, yeah, the Earth is round.
But if Neil Armstrong walk on the moon, date?
That was 1960. Let me take a guess. 1966?
1969. So you were actually close. Okay. So 1969 was 55 years ago. Mm-hmm. Let's say that was our first like visual. We're going to go just with science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was the day we decided to perpetuate the lie. Let's just use that day because it's the most.
Okay.
It's got the most moving parts and meanings to it. 55 years ago, meaning that man had to have been old enough to at least been employed by the government in the space travel department. This person, let's say he's 25 years old, putting him at 80 years old today, bare minimum, bare minimum. He's 80 years old today. Mm-hmm. It is that meme we all see on the internet of when I was 25, I posited a lie that the Earth was actually round instead of flat. When Neil Armstrong sent me the data, I altered it for my own amusement. Sure, Grandpa. Let's put you to bed now. Sure, the Earth is flat.
That's where the truth comes out, huh? The truth comes out.
It's a Grandpa Simpson meme where he's under the tree telling old crazy stories. Like, in my day, when I was an intern at NASA, I manipulated the data that Buzz Aldrin sent to me and made the world think the Earth was round.
Wow.
This 80-year-old man.
This is right there. He's like, I'm the only one. I intercepted it right before anyone else saw. It was me.
And nobody crazy. Knows but me. I've kept this secret for 55 years. And now I'm telling you, despite the fact that I've told no one else, because that's the only reasonable chance this would have stayed secret this long. But I'm telling you now, grandson.
Yeah. No. I looked it up, by the way. 5th century BC, 500-something BC is the first records that we've gotten, like, some concept dates that the Earth has been around. Like, yeah. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Larry Smith of Pensacola, Florida, worked as an intern at NASA, and he's the one in 1969 who set this bitch off. Blame Larry Smith.
Larry Smith, you got him. You got us all. Honestly, you won. Larry Smith. Larry you got Smith. Me.
You fucked up America, Larry Smith. Congrats.
Man. All right, cool. I got one more.
Fire away.
But I want to ask you, out of these two, one is like, one's a bit R-rated, and the other one is a bit just like immature. Which one do you want for the end on?
I think I could finish strong on either one. You make the call.
Okay, I'm going to go with the R-rated one. Would you rather fight a bear and see what happens? No weapons. Or, this one's pretty tough. Have your nuts be squashed by an elephant and have a medical team on site.
I'm fighting the bear, and this isn't even a discussion. First of all,
what if you die?
Well, here are my options.
Okay.
If having an elephant step on my testicles is truly on the table, and I just got to fight the bear.
You got to fight the bear,
But the elephant stepping on your testicles, that means you're like watching it happen, which is just so mortifying and traumatic, you're not going to be the same person afterwards, regardless of if they saved your nuts or not. Like, you're going to be a broken human.
They can save your life. Is the medical team on site? I had to put that in there.
You to put yourself in the headspace of sitting with your legs like open, waiting as this elephant's foot is coming crashing down on your nuts that have been like separated out on a board. It is going to traumatize you. You're going to be like a fucking M. Night Shyamalan level Mr. Glass villain after this is over. You're going to be the most broken person mentally. That'd be so scarring, like watching your testicles turn into mush in front of you. Forget about the pain. As a stampeding elephant is roaring towards you versus like, oh, that's one option. Like, all right, give me some parameters. I'm squaring up on the bear. We're squaring up on the bear then. Fuck this motherfucker. Let's go. If my option to let someone destroy my testicles or distribute hands to a bear, at least I'm gonna go out with a form of pride and dignity that I fought versus being indirectly castrated. Oh God!
The bear's sorry. Gonna kill you. I'm saying, like, you know, like it's a bear. It's in
hey,
your
bear. Hey bear. Bear, don't sing it. Bring it.
Oh no, Winnie the Pooh's gonna whoop your ass, man.
Fine, I know what he's not gonna do. I know what Winnie the Pooh's not gonna do. He's not gonna fucking vaporize my nuts.
Have you seen The Revenant? I think of that scene where, you know, DiCaprio's on the ground, he gets like tossed three times by that bear. That's one of the most intense, scary scenes I have seen. It's a natural, real, it actually happened to that man. I mean, you know, not DiCaprio, but that's based off a true story. That is terrifying. That's traumatic to me. That bear scene or a bear in life, like, yeah, you may get a hand in. You may get a lucky shot in. It's a bear. Are you really going to take that bear down? And then you're fighting a bear. Bear's killing you. The bear doesn't know I'm going to stop when he stops moving. The bear's like, he's going to stop breathing and I win. That's how bears fight. So, like, that's.
Can you confirm the condition of my testicles after the bear fight?
I cannot confirm the condition of your testicles.
You take an educated guess of the condition of my testicles.
They might be okay. It's probably going to break your ribs. They're probably not going to mess with your ball. The bear wants to kill you. It's not going to mess with your.
Ask about the nuts. How are the nuts? They're good?
You're going to be buried with nuts, I guess.
A shot? No, you didn't say go get killed by it. You said I just had to fight the bear.
Yeah.
No guarantee. You just described a scenario where a man survived a bear attack. I'll take my chances. The direct example you use is a man who survived a bear attack. Yeah. And I've seen The Revenant as well. Leonardo DiCaprio's nuts seemed all but untouched in the game. So you're telling me, me and my homeboy, we choose. I get mauled by this bear. I'm fucked up. Mm-hmm. They're airlifting me to the trauma center for this bear attack. Mm-hmm. My homeboy is next to me who, from the waist up, is seeming to However, from the waist down, it is the his crotch resembles the floor of a Nickelodeon early 90s game show.
Oof. It's green. It's
there's slime everywhere.
Yeah. Puddles. Yeah.
I'm gonna look over and be like, hey, I'll see you after surgery, bitch, and just roll over and just take my broken hand and cut my testicles and just smile faintly as I pass out to sleep because I'm fucking exhausted and the room's dark and the air conditioning's going. Man. And don't make too much noise. I got to sleep. This is a non-choice. I am not going to have my testicles voluntarily pureed. But yeah, versus hand distribution. Like, hey, yeah. Maybe I'll gouge the bear in the eye. I don't know. Yeah. Who knows?
But it's a chance. I'm saying the bear is a roll of the dice.
Yeah, sure. The shadow of the elephant's foot is over my face now. Mm-hmm. And no one said that he was going to gently squash your testicles.
Elephants don't do anything gentle, really. I mean, they can, I guess, but not this.
But when that foot is either coming down slowly or with great fury, and the only thing it's going to make contact with is the boys. It's the only thing. I'm assuming you're restrained.
And you'd have to be. I made this so that, you know, you not leaving. You still have your member. You still got the Frank. It's just, it's your manhood.
The testicles have been, like, parsed out. So only the elephant.
Yeah. Because I'm not going to mess with the, like, you can keep the rest. This is what's going to be destroyed. Specifically.
Just the berry, not the twigs.
Yes. And the bear is, your whole body is at risk. Your entire body is at risk. He's squaring up.
Hair up,
square. He's squaring.
Yeah, let's go. Like, listen, all I got to do is survive. No one said I had to beat the bear. I just got to survive.
You got to survive. You got to survive. Yeah, you're fighting a bear.
Versus seeing my nuts go through a wood chipper. While I'm strapped in place.
Hydraulic press, I'd say.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Not as slow.
All those Instagram videos, they're on everyone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're those satisfying videos.
This is a non-choice. Honestly, I feel bad for the bear. Because of all the humans that bear is going to maul, I'm going to fight back, which on a scale probably means nothing. With a greater fury than any other man he's ever mauled. The sheer fact that the alternative was having my nuts blended in front of me and served as a smoothie after the fact. Every time I want to cry or say uncle or just give up, I'm going to think about, well, Larry's over there strapped down with that fucking bull elephant.
That's what Larry gets for that brown earth shit he's been peddling for years. Like, that's what Larry gets.
Look up at that bear and be like, you better fucking kill me. I swear to God, that's your only shot here. Like, get your money. Yeah. Get your money's worth, Yogi. Get your money's worth.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, we're ending there. I want to thank you guys for being on. Thank you, AJ, for being on. And I want to hand the spotlight over to you if there's anything you want to plug or tell the listeners in general.
AJ Presents the Greater Good, found on all major podcast platforms. You can be found on Instagram at AJ Presents the Greater Good. Spelled GR8R, as with all things, the title of the show on your iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all your major platforms, Google Play as well. Find us on Twitter, AJ Greater Good. I hate Twitter. I do. It's the worst place on earth. It's a Amazon level distribution center for brain poison, and I truly hate it. I'm only on there to perpetuate this podcast, market, and advertise. The second the show is no longer a thing, I'm deleting Twitter. Worst place on earth. I don't know how you people do this. I hate it. have nothing positive to say, but I'm there because I got to be there. You put the business first. But yeah, mm-hmm. 8 seasons strong season finale drops May the 17th. Stay tuned to all major podcast platforms. We got a humdinger for you, kids. Also, subscribe to our Patreon, $9.99 a month. Your funds go towards 15% discounts on merchandise, as well as all shows early and ad-free, and it goes to local public schools. So subscribe to that Patreon, ladies and gentlemen. We got the merch out. We got it on the show page. Check us out on the socials. DM me for any info. I'll be happy to work with you, ship you merch, or talk about having you on the show. Everyone gets an opinion. Mine's just the only one that's right.
Dang. That was great plug. That was freaking great. Everyone, let me know in the comments the questions you have by Instagram, email, whatever it is. Please rate and follow on Thousand Crazy Questions wherever you find it. Share this episode with your friends. Share with your enemies. Everyone stay safe. Peace out.
Fuck that bear.
As always, I'm a music producer, D800, D-800, at BeatStars or SoundCloud.com.